All right, so section one. Go to section one in the book, and we are going to move into some eye-opening stats. Most of you did not. I got to get that out of my head because I think you guys know all this stuff. Some of you may have heard some of these, but I just want to get you thinking a little differently in section one. You know, top causes for increased stress. There's too many deadlines, too many things to do, not enough time, conflicting goals and responsibility. I added reacting instead of proacting. So there you go. So we put a lot of this stuff on ourselves, guys. And what we're going to kind of dive into here to really help is just giving you some simple strategies, techniques that are common sense, but unfortunately they're not common practice. So common sense is not common practice is a common theme you're going to hear over the next 2 days. So how do we be Smokey the Bears? How do we prevent a lot of these fires that are causing the stress and the anxiety that each of us deal with each and every day? And then the other part of that too, it doesn't just stop with us, but you know, how can you share that with the others that you're involved with? I mean, if we can, put it this way, if we can teach them to be Smokey the Bears, to prevent a lot of fires and it doesn't get to your desk, doesn't get to your office, it's just a more healthy environment. It's just a better place to be, so we're going to dive into that as well. Why am I going to let a situation control me instead of me controlling it? Shouldn't we control email? Yeah. And I'm no expert on addictions or any of that kind of stuff, but I do know if something's in front of your face all the time, it becomes very difficult to remove that from your life. So why is it any different with ourselves being too accessible today? Emails delivered to our phones. We got text messages out the yin-yang. We got instant messages going on. And I'm going to tie this all together in the next few slides, but think about that for a minute. So the first thing I want you to do is just think about that, and in terms of, are you guilty or are you not? And if you're not, we'll go to the next slide. And if you are, I just want you to think about, should you think about possibly, which I will do, removing my email off my phone? Because last time I checked in my one-week study now, ain't nothing that came through email that deserved to take my attention away from either something I was working on or the person I was with. It's a one-week study. I have no mental or clinical documentation to back this up, so I just want to go on the record and say that. But I'm pretty good at saying common sense is not common practice. But if I put something in front of my face where it becomes a distraction, how do I remove that distraction? Last point on this story. Ooh, Kevin, our 20-year-old who goes to Baylor. Last week of summer school, guess what happened to his phone? Went on the blink. Okay. Now, final time, I don't know much about finals in college, but it's apparently a high-stress situation. There's a lot going on, and for some reason, Kevin's phone goes out on the last week when he's doing finals. For some reason, he scored higher on those finals than he did on the other two, three, four. I don't know. I don't think, probably no connection whatsoever. Okay, so with that story of the phone went down, Kevin's test scores went up, how's that any different for us? How's that distraction any different from us? I mean, we're letting ourselves be distracted, we're becoming much more accessible, and the problem is when we're letting people when we become more accessible to people, they just keep taking advantage, but they keep taking more advantage of us. So let me continue with with some paper. For instance, printing paper and keeping paper around. Again, you know, you can Google this and go get the stats. 4.4 hours a week wasted retrieving misplaced information from desks or files. 90% of all documents handled each and every day are just merely shuffled. 80% of the file papers are never referenced again. 8 out of 10 pieces of paper that no one in this room, of course, but 8 out of 10 pieces of paper touched outside of this room are never referenced again. How much time does that take? In every survey taken over the last 20 years, managing paperwork falls into the top 10 time-wasting activities. So guess what? We're no different than 20 years ago. Interesting stats. Continuing. During the last 25 years, our leisure time has declined by 37%, while we actually now work 6 days. Some of us, of course, no one in this room. An average interruption can consume 10 to 20 minutes for you to get back on track. And here's the other interesting stat, as much as 28% of the average U.S. worker's day. Community calculator, please. 2,000 hours. 2,000. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Times 28%. divided by 50?
11.2.
Divided by 5?
2.2.
Hours a day. 2.2 hours a day. Maybe it's only an hour for you. Maybe it's only 30 minutes for you. How many of you would like an extra 30 minutes every day? Put your hands up. Maybe it's only 30 minutes a day. Spending 10 to 15 minutes every morning can save you 6 hours a week. Try this one next time you go on vacation. Ready? Pack your bag, get in your car, and start driving. And tell me if you get there. Got it? Exactly. So why do we not get in our car and start driving on vacation when we don't know where the heck we're going? Why don't we spend 15 minutes and decide, honey, where do you want to go today? Oh, well, let's just go over to, you know, XYZ, and let's go to the little community there and hang out at the pool. Okay, great. How long did that discussion happen? 5 minutes? Much better than starting to drive and realizing it's now going to take 6 hours to get back on track to get over the community we're trying to get to in the first place. You see, it's interesting. Common sense is not common practice. We do things every day, but until we break it down and really think about something like this, why don't we spend 15 minutes a day thinking about what we're going to do for maybe the whole day that could potentially save us 6 hours? We just, in some cases, choose not to do it. So let me do one more. It was a stretch to put in here, but I wanted to put it in here in terms of thinking differently about your current customer base. And these statistics have been around for years. But here's another interesting point about keeping more money in your bank account. The initial sale takes 5 to 10 times longer and anywhere between 5 and 10 times the expense than the second one. So the interpretation of that for us in the room is this. If I've already made the initial sale to person A, then I want to make sure that I do everything I possibly can, unless they're a pain in the ass, to continue to serve them so they make the second sale, because that is a lot less expensive as compared to chasing a bunch of new ones. Everyone agree with that?
Yeah.
So the last group that was in, this is one of those where they circled and starred and went, what system, what tracking, what reporting do I have in place to even know where I'm at today? How many of my current clients buy again and again and again? Of the ones who didn't buy, why didn't they? I mean, all those questions came to mind. So that is a key bullet point that I want you to take away here, is really having an understanding of where the revenue is coming from. Is it a first-time buyer? So if you're tracking your revenue, if you're not, you will by the time you leave these 2 days, but there's two line items on the revenue line. Row one is revenue from current customers, and the second row on there is revenue from new customers. Because when we start talking about cost to serve, we need to break those two numbers out, because we know that the initial sale takes 5 or 10 times more expense or investment, however you want to look at the world. But when I use investment and when I use the word expense, just know that those, depending on your culture, you know, you can flip those any way that you want to. So for those, does everybody have at least access to a calculator of some sort, whether it's on your phone or the community calculator or whatever it might be? So it's a good time to pull that out. Unless you're really good at numbers, you can just do this on a piece of paper, which is fine. But what we're going to do now is just do an exercise that really will open your eyes to a few things: time and value. And we're going to talk about that a little more in detail. So the first thing I want you to do is to calculate what your time is worth. So if you need the community calculator, you can use it. If not, let's bang through it. So, you know, approximately, what's the dollars you made in the last 12 months? Just put a number on the paper there, whatever that happens to be. And yes, you know, last group I had an executive assistant in here, and she's like, well, I get paid hourly. I'm like, okay, what do you make an hour? How many hours you work? You still, the exercise still applies to you. One thing you'll pick up over the next 2 days is I am a big proponent of reallocating time. And one of the reasons we get in trouble with our time is we don't treat it like a suitcase. You see, a suitcase, when you're packing for a trip, you can only put certain things in your suitcase, right? The problem most of us have with time is we don't treat it like a suitcase. It's just time. So the dollars you made in the last 12 months, the next thing you're going to do is divide it by 2,000 hours. Why 2,000? Because there's 2,080 so-called work hours. You're going to give yourself 2 weeks off in this exercise. You're going to divide that number by 2,000, and that's going to give you the number. So that's just for you and your eyes only. I don't necessarily care about what's on the paper. The second part of the exercise is number two. Right there on the paper for number two, I want you to write down what big project is not done yet. What big project is not done yet? And because that project's not done yet, how much money are you losing a month because it's not completed or in some cases not even started? So how do you do that? Okay, let's, if it's a home study course, you're going to sell it for $497 and you plan to sell 10 of them next year. So 10 times 497, that's the money that you lost as of now and will continue to lose year after year, month after month, week after week, day after day, unless you get the project done. Which now you're starting to realize that we have a problem. We have a problem because, number one, you know your value. Number two, you know that you're losing some money because something's not done. And really, it comes back to, I don't have enough time or I don't have enough money to get it done. So we're going to start diving into how do I get you the time to go get that done so you can start producing the revenue. Or if the big project you're working on is a big cost saver for you, it's going to save you thousands of dollars a year in your expenses, maybe that's it. There's really two things and two things only when we discuss these strategies is, it's going to make you money, is it going to save you money, one or the other. If it's not, the first question you have to ask yourself is, why am I even pursuing this option? Common sense is not common practice. What is the next step on that project? Now, the reason I put that in here is this. A lot of times in our projects, in our minds, we have this huge project. The last group, there was a gentleman in here that was, it's one of those breakthrough moments. It's like, okay, anybody wants to, yeah. I want to do a home study course. That was my project. That was number two. It's not done yet. I said, okay. How long has it been on your list? Any ideas? Thoughts? 12 months. Been out for a year. Any reason why you haven't done it yet? I just haven't got to it. Would you love to hear that he came in the next day, which was this morning, and one thing we asked him was this one. Because we asked him what the project was, he said, yeah, home study course. I said, that's too big. Can't work with that right now. Well, I need to create the outline of what the picture is going to look like on the CDs. I said, that's too big. Keep going. So basically on the third one, I said, what else could you possibly do on the next step of that project? He goes, well, I could write the outline of what the content's going to be. I said, amen, you got it. By tomorrow morning, you're going to walk in here and share with the 12 of us, show us that piece of paper. Second part of that is you're going to commit 30 minutes tonight when you go back to your hotel room to get it done. Fast forward. Walks in this morning, not only does he have the paper done, the outline, not only did he spend 30 minutes, he spent an extra 30 minutes because it felt so good to him to get started. He spent an hour on it, and guess what else happened? His cell phone rang, he had it turned off, didn't even know it rang till after that hour. Checked the voicemail, his niece had just had her baby. Now most of us would think, oh my gosh, he didn't answer the phone to hear the news about the baby. The guy got a start on a project that has been on his mind for 12 months because he did two key things. One, he said, I'm going to start with something so I can get at least something done. And then what's he going to do tomorrow? He's going to do something else. And then he's going to do something else. And as he's doing more and more and he starts to feel better and better, he's going to get the home study course done. See how that works? The other thing he did was, I'm going to commit 30 minutes. Goodness gracious, it felt so good. The guy committed an hour. The third part about it was, if you didn't know the whole story, you'd think, oh my God, but he missed the phone call that came that his niece had a baby. Well, let me ask you a question. Did he have the same level of celebration and success and blessings in his mind listening to the voicemail that he would have had with the same news on the telephone? So what's the problem? It's kind of simple, right? But common sense is not common practice. It's just simple breaking it down to say, what is the next step of that big project? Can I at least start something and start feeling better about it? That was a big breakthrough for him. I was so proud of him. And I would imagine by the next event, he's going to have the home study course done. So what can you do right now to get it going or get it moving? That was my question to him. And he said, I will commit to getting the outline done. Good for him. And of course, he's feeling really good about himself now, which is great.